Blog Talk Radio.
And we are on Blog Talk Radio again with Conscious Wellbeing for You. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening on this wonderful Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I have a special treat for you today, a surprise guest, as it says on the little description box of my show. Her name is Marilyn Kentz, and she is an actress from right here in Sonoma County near us. She's from Santa Rosa, and she did a mommy show. I'm sorry, I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but thank you so much for being here with us.
Call.
And the title of your mommy play, can you repeat that?
The Mommy. It's pretty easy.
pretty easy. I just wanted to make sure I was getting it right. It seemed like it was too easy. Now, how did you first get started doing that?
Okay, in the beginning, there were three of us, and we mm-hmm. were going to put on a show that for people in the workplace. We thought if we could bring humor and do seminars, but as mm-hmm. we started putting together the show, you know, as Carol's son is scotch taping G.I. Joe's to the wall, and I'm getting a call from my son's seventh grade teacher saying that he flipped off the noon aid, we realized mm-hmm. that who really needed to laugh were mommies. And so our original name was Comedy Camp for Mommies and Women Who Forgot to Have Children, because our third partner didn't have any kids, but we geared it mostly around moms and women.
Right. Excellent. And so where you were a mom when you started doing this, and that's why you did that. And did you find it to be very therapeutic for you?
Oh, my God. I would walk in the house, and my teenage son would have a girl laying on it, just lying on my son. Nobody's getting up. Nobody's blushing. She's just on top of my son. And if you don't think I use that in the show immediately. So every time, all I would do was go home, get frustrated, and then report it. And a lot of the women, it was very therapeutic for me because, of course, mm-hmm. I could get my revenge in a certain way on the teenager. But most of all, women in the audience felt like they weren't alone. See, that was our goal. Carol and I, from the very beginning, decided we wanted to our main goal was to help women feel like they're not alone. Now, some of the antics my kids did were so obnoxious, they went home feeling great. Well, at least my kid doesn't do that. And then other times, they would just relate to it. They knew it. I mean, one of my lines was, isn't that weird how sometimes your own children can look ugly to you? You know, they would or I had a fantasy that I was in Target and nobody's touching anything. Anyway, so, we definitely had in mind the everyday suburban mom.
Right, absolutely. It sounded like it. I actually watched most of that show online. Folks, if you want to call in with questions for Marilyn, the call-in number is area code 929-477-3282. I'll repeat that, 929-477-3282. And Marilyn, does your third person, who's not in your group anymore, does she actually do seminars?
I think she does.
I was just wondering where she went.
Yeah, I do. I think that's what she did do. Yeah, afterwards.
Uh-huh.
It was
okay.
One of those really strange things where we weren't taking good care of ourselves. We were trying to do the show and have carpool in the morning and mm-hmm. homework in the afternoon, then get in the car and do a gig and then come back home. And it was and the third person did not understand our world. And she had a mean streak, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
at one point when we were going to sign a contract with some big agency, Carol and I decided that it wasn't worth it for our own safety, our own health, meaning we were just getting too upset all the time. It wasn't a easy, loving thing. And so we quit thinking we're just going back to selling Tupperware or whatever, you know. And
right.
as it turned out, the manager then called us out later and asked us if it was just Carol and I would do it. And we went to the Montreal Comedy Festival, and we had not performed as a duo. And so we were just afraid we couldn't change costumes or fast uh-huh. enough or whatever. But what we didn't know, because we were completely naive, we didn't know that we were being watched from all the networks to see if we could have a sitcom. And when we were done, our biggest fear was, could we change our clothes fast enough? And will they understand English? Because we were in Montreal. And so it was a real hit, and we got an offer from ABC, NBC, and CBS. Now, you want to know how we figured out to do NBC? We were so dumb, so naive, we knew nothing about television. And I had said, uh-huh. you know, let's not do ABC because that has Full House, and that's a stupid show. And then Carol said, well, I don't like Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, so let's not do CBS. And this is how we're choosing, right? And we said, oh, well, you know, NBC has Cheers. We like Cheers. And that's how we chose NBC. Just completely weird and naive. That was us.
Oh, wow. That cracks me up because I probably would have looked at the same standard, you know, who has the shows that I like. And
yeah.
I probably would have, at the time, would have gone with Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, because I actually liked that show.
Yeah. Carol did not. So we couldn't do that one.
Yeah, well, everybody has their own taste. And
yeah.
So did you actually get a show on NBC?
Yes, we had three series. We had the first year, we had 23 episodes, and then the second year, we came in as a mid-season. And then it was odd because we did not feel that the writing was very clever. Here we thought, oh, good, we're going to be in Hollywood, and these producers are like, they're so much smarter than us, and we're just going to have to, you know, play the part, have fun. And it wasn't. They wrote inane sitcom that is, it just was not our standard of what humor is. I can remember one time they had Carol's character was going to have a baby, and I was helping put on a baby shower, and they had my character come out, and I had only brought Gino's pizza rolls or something, and that was supposed to be funny. I'm like, that's just stupid. Why would, no, you know? And so we did not want to do it anymore, but we were able to get a new executive producer, and we got to do it for a little bit more, and then we decided we wanted to do a talk show. So then we had an ABC talk show for a year. It was really fun, the talk show.
Uh-huh. Did you get to write your own material more for the talk show? Was it more reality-based?
Yes. We could be ourselves. And, we just kind of had to interview various people, either celebrities, well, B-list celebrities mostly, or people who had interesting lives. The highlight of the talk show for me, absolute highlight, was I got to meet and hold hands with Rosa Parks.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
and
that's
and
incredible.
And just like, that was... And my daughter was in the fifth grade, and it was Black History Month, and they allowed me to have her whole classroom come in and in the green room and ask Rosa questions and stuff. So, I mean, that was just an absolute highlight of my life.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, that would be a highlight of my life, too.
Yeah.
She's one of my heroes.
And me, too.
Yeah. My son and I were just mentioning Rosa Parks today, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we were talking about Rosa Parks and Jim Crow laws and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our conversation had just turned that way. So are you still doing all three shows?
No. Hollywood has no time for elderly people. I'm old now. I went on to author three books. And So what I'm doing right now, I'm writing a memoir, and I am holding classes in memoir writing here in Berkeley. And so I'm helping others write their stories. And, you know, here's
wow.
the thing about, oh, yeah, it's wonderful. It just, oh, I love doing it so much. We form like a little therapy group practically, you know. Yeah, it's good. It's good, and it's a kind thing.
Right. It sounds mm-hmm. really great. Now, can you give people your contact information in case they want to come to one of your writing classes?
Oh, huh. Sure. I'm going to give my email address that I use for public stuff. And it's
mm-hmm.
the Geyser address. It's my name, MarilynKentz
right.
at AOL.
.com.
So, yeah, people can get a hold of me there. Or go to my website, which is just MarilynKentz.com.
Okay. MarilynKentz.com.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And would you mind very much allowing a special offer for my listeners or, you know, for the first caller?
Oh, okay. What could I... This is a surprise.
Maybe
I'm not sure. And also,
discount on one of your classes, just a small discount.
Yes, yeah, of course I would do that. I also
that
right
would be
now
really
I
great.
Teach art.
Uh-huh.
I teach art to women who think they have no talent. And I could even come to Petaluma for that one. I go to Santa Rosa and teach it. I teach it in L.A. I teach it here at my house. And it's really for women who maybe took it in high school and want to explore more or never took a class in their lives, just think they don't have it. I love
right.
to surprise them because they don't know. They've just not been trained is all.
Are you talking about any kind of art or specifically theater art?
No. Art, you know, using media. Meaning I teach them every medium that you can in art. I teach them sculpture. I teach them watercolors, pastels.
How cool is that?
Acrylics. I introduce everything so they find the one they light on. They love to, you know, use, like, I think acrylics seems to be their favorite so far. But oils as well. So I go through the whole gamut of the mediums you can use in art. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's say someone wanted to host it in Petaluma, then
uh-huh.
the host would not have to pay anything.
Okay, excellent. And so, folks, if you want to give me a call, then I will give Marilyn your name and tell her that you would like a discount on one of her classes. Is that okay, Marilyn?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if you don't want to call into the show, if you're a little shy about that, my private number is area code 707-762-3578, and I'll repeat it, 707-762-3578, and please leave me a good time and day to call you back. And I will pass your name on to Marilyn Kentz. She can teach you some art or a little bit about mommyhood because she's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, absolutely. And she's been an actress and took a lot of her material from mommyhood, and she was doing that as a duo. Can you tell us anything about the partner with whom you duoed or still duo?
Carol. I love Carol. I performed recently, but it was more about aging, the aging process, and the name was Will I Ever Wear a Bikini Again? And I did that for a couple years, just recently. But Carol didn't want to do it with me. Carol said, "Oh hell no, this mama don't memorize no more." So she did not want to memorize. Anyway, so yeah, but I just saw Carol this weekend. She lives in LA still, and I live in Berkeley. But her son is getting married, and they had a wedding shower for the daughter-in-law to be, and that was on Saturday. So I just saw her. We had a great time. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. That's fantastic. And let me think. So if you could give our listeners one message to take away with them from the show today in a nutshell, what would that one message be?
I think it's a question I get, this particular new question I get asked often. People get very excited and enamored with the fact that I at one time had a television sitcom and a talk show, and I had a Showtime special. And I think that's the name you were asking. It was called My Kid Beat Up Your Honor Student. And people get very excited about it, and I have to explain to them that it's just that piece in my life was just one section. We have all these sections. A friend of mine was interviewing a 100-year-old woman at one point, and she asked her, "What does she do? You know, what did she do when her kids were around? How did she discipline her kids?" And the centenarian said, "You know, it's hard for me to remember. That was only 20 years of my life," and it just put this big perspective on the various sections. So, you know, we have our childhood section, and it might be delineated by, of course, a teenage section, and then young adult, and then I had my kids, and during that time I got a television show, finished that, went to writing, and now I'm teaching art and helping other people write. So for me, I suggest that no one section was way better than the other than the kids one. I mean, that, if you're going to talk about an important section in my life, it was rearing kids. So it's not, I mean, something like getting a television show is, it's just not that important. It's just a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, when you think of your own life, you know, divide it into sections and realize that you and I have a lot in common. It was raising the kids.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. As a life coach and health coach, one of the things that I like to try to impart to my clients is that, yeah, we wear many hats, but they're not disparate pieces. You know, they are all one puzzle. You have to kind of look at the whole thing because the pieces don't work separately, just like no man is an island unto himself. If your love life isn't going well, then nothing else is going to go well. And if you're, your work relationships aren't going well, then nothing else is going to go well, and your home life is going to suffer for it. And if your financial life isn't working out well, then all other aspects of your life are going to suffer, and you can't divide yourself into different sections or different pieces or think that you're wearing different hats, because actually it's all one hat. You know, it's all you.
Well, that's why we let go of the third mommy, because it was not going well. And we figured we were on the precipice of getting a deal, a television deal, but we we decided to give it all up. It was not important enough to be bad for our health. And
right,
so
right.
we quit thinking we're just going back to Petaluma. We'll figure out what we're going to do next, but it won't be on the stage. And then things turned around. I mean, Carol
right.
and I had a wonderful time and a wonderful friendship, and still do. And so there, to get the negativity away was a very important thing for us, and so willing to give up everything just so that we
right.
were in balance
again. Right.
Yeah.
It's going to sound really cliche, but it's, you know, out with the old and in with the new is an important thing, because you only have room for something fresh and new and positive if you let go of things that are holding you back.
Right. I lost my husband 2.5 years ago, and it was a very devastating thing for me. I was on stage in L.A. when he died here in Berkeley, and it was horrific because we didn't find him for a couple days, and it was just a horrible thing. Carol jumped on the plane with me, brought me to this world of grief, and I had to work my way slowly out of the grief. And really, it was just one day at a time. I kept thinking, oh, I cried so hard. That was so hard. Now it's over, right? I'm done. It wasn't over at all. So it took its sweet time, but I feel very healthy now. In fact, I just got a roommate for the first time. He's a 27-year-old gay genius at Apple Store. I can't tell you how perfect that is. And he likes the show So You Think You Could Dance, one of my favorite shows. So.
Oh, yeah, that's one of our favorite shows, too.
So, yeah, and I'm just having a really good time. He's company, he's busy, he's worked a lot, so I don't see him that much. But when I do, we are laughing and having a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I find that, you know, all the gay people I've ever met, they've had the most wonderful sense of humor ever.
I think we draw those to us.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're just great. So let's see. I asked you the question about what message do you want people to take away with them today. How about, I'm gonna put that question sort of to you another way. It's a slightly different question. It goes like this. If you could have me ask you one question now, since we have only 5 minutes left, what is the one most important question you would have me ask you right now?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to repeat something. I'm here to make women feel good about themselves. I'm here to make them know they're not alone. And so in any way that I do that, if I make them laugh because I've written humor, or if I'm on stage and I make them cry because they relate so much to some of the pain motherhood has to, or if I make them laugh on stage, it's all the same. I just want women to know they're good enough and they're not alone.
Now, that's a really, really important message. I'm glad you reiterated it and restated it like that. Thank you so much, because that's something else that I hit on a lot as a life coach and a health coach. We are good enough, and we are strong enough, and we are smart enough. We are enough in all ways.
Absolutely.
I hit on that a lot with my clients, because there are a lot of us who have a lot of insecurities because we grew up as children of a certain age. Our parents, you know, are from a certain school of thought, and it's not their fault. I'm not blaming our parents for anything. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes our parents can leave us with insecurities. And sometimes we get married to a man, and the man is expected to be the smart one and the very sensible one and the very practical one, because we grew up in an age where it was sort of a man's world, and we were all told, okay, men don't cry. Men are the strong ones. You know, women turn to your men and rely on your men for money and everything else. And so we swallowed that, and with it we swallowed the lie that women are not able to do those same things that men can do. And we're having to work against that now in order to not only enter the workforce, because we've already done that, but to break all the glass ceilings, as Hillary Clinton is doing now. She's broken a glass ceiling in that she stepped into presidential candidacy. And, yeah, it's like, yay, women. go, girls. We can do it, because we are enough. We're smart enough. We're strong enough. We're reliable enough. You know, we're practical and sensible enough. We have enough common decency. So this is where it's at for me. We have to start, you know, reclaiming our power and realizing that we always had this power. It's just that we gave it away for a while. We need to reclaim it.
Yes, and I just want women to know they're not alone, that we're, you know, we're all going through it. We've all had insecurities, and we've all made mistakes, and we've all had one or two loser kids. You're not alone.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so since we have 1 minute left, I'm going to let you say one last thing to our listeners, if you'd like. Would you like to just say a quick goodbye?
Yeah, I appreciate this quick little phone interview and a little surprise when you got a hold of me. And I'm happy, like, if someone would like to do some art, that's fine. Some writing classes, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on with me today. I know that my listeners loved it, and they'll love it from the archives as well, the ones who didn't catch it just now. I'm going to let you go now. And folks, that was Marilyn Kentz from Santa Rosa. She's a mom, an authoress, an artist, and an actress, and many, many other things, because we all wear many, many hats. And please listen again next week on Monday at 3, same time, same channel. And I will love having you and hearing from you. And my number again, if you'd like to get hold of Marilyn Kentz, is area code 707-762-3578. That's 707-762-3578. Please leave a message very clearly, your phone number, and the best time and day to call you back. And thank you so much for listening to Conscious. Have a wonderful rest of your week, folks. Bye-bye now.